The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me as you have said." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ of God.
Amen.
Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. The Word of God is so abundantly and very important to the church on earth. It is the Word. The Word of God is so important. If we were to step away from the Word, if we were to look away from the Word of God, we would be led into all false teaching. We would be led into all heresy. And ultimately be cast into the outer darkness where there is to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Nothing in the church is to happen apart from the Word of the Lord. In the beginning, God spoke, and that which was not in existence came into existence. The Word of the Lord created all things that are, and all things that exist. The Apostle John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing has been made that was made." The Word is so important to we as Christians. It is through the Word that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit desires and wishes to deal with each and every one of us. And He wishes to deal with us only through the external Word and the sacraments. God does not speak to us through our feelings. God does not speak to us through some vague burning in our hearts. If someone were to claim that the Holy Spirit works apart from the Word and sacraments, we would know that such a teaching is of the devil, because that is what the devil pointed Adam and Eve to do. Look away from the Word. Do not trust the Word. Rather, trust yourself. Trust your eyes. What do you see? No. Do not ever look away from the Word of God. Adam and Eve turned to their own thoughts and their own desires, and look where that got them. They turned away from the Word of God. Think about Moses. God wished to appear to Moses, but He appeared to him through the burning bush and the spoken Word. No prophet, be they as great as Elisha or Elijah, receives the Spirit without the Ten Commandments, without the Word of God coming to them. John the Baptist was not conceived without the Word being brought by the angel Gabriel. Nor did John leap in Mary's womb until the word of Mary hit Elizabeth's ears. "At the sound of your greeting," says Elizabeth, "the baby leapt in my womb." St. Peter says that when the prophets spoke, they did not speak by the will of man, but were moved by the Holy Spirit as holy men of God. And without the external Word, they were not holy. And the Holy Spirit would not move them to speak until they were made holy. What words did Mary utter? Pretty fascinating. Obviously books have been written, sermons have been preached for centuries on the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and speaking to Mary, informing her, letting her know that she would be the mother of God in the flesh. No wonder Mary was concerned at the greeting and wondered what type of greeting the angel might be giving her, right? And what words did Mary utter? "Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. The word came to Mary from the angel Gabriel. She did not demand to be the mother of God. She did not first ask to be the mother of God. She did not put herself forward to be the mother of God. She was chosen by God the Father, and the message was delivered to her. The word came to Mary. Mary, the mother-to-be, receives the promise God's promise of a child. And this is very like the other promises that were made to God's faithful women throughout the centuries. The angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar and said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant. Behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael." And the angel of the Lord also appeared to Samson's mother and said to her, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for he shall be a Nazarite to God. From the womb he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Isaiah's mother Sarah and John's mother Elizabeth, their pregnancies were both miraculous, it is to be true, yet no angel appears to them. Each of these women and their husbands heard the word. In other words, there was a wife and there was a husband, which enabled them to conceive. Mary's case was very different. What does she ask? "I don't understand how this is going to be because I'm not married yet. I don't have a husband. How am I going to be," she asks, "pregnant?" Mary is the virgin spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin herself will be with child, and she shall call his name Emmanuel." What wondrous things are spoken of by Gabriel to Mary. The Holy Spirit will overshadow her. Now you think about that word. We've heard that word in the Scripture before. It's very close to or very much the same word in the New Testament. This is the same Spirit of God that is described as hovering over the waters in Genesis 1:1. The Spirit of God brooded, hovered over the waters. What is Mary told? This same Spirit that was active in creation is the same Spirit that's going to brood over you, that's going to hover over you. This is very fascinating. It's amazing what the Word is telling us. It is the presence of God that led Israel in the Exodus. The same Spirit that was over the tabernacle of God, the same Spirit of God that was there is the very same Spirit that will come over and overshadow Mary. As the glory of God filled the temple, so the glory of God will fill Mary. And what a mighty promise to her, isn't it? A mighty promise that as the Holy Spirit comes upon her, she will conceive and she will bear a son who is holy, and he shall be called Great, and he shall be Mighty, and he shall be the Son of God, and he shall sit on the throne of his father David forever. As the Holy Spirit overshadows her, she conceives a son. And what was conceived in Eve? Now think about this. What was conceived by Eve in all of humanity was humanity that was doomed by sin, humanity that was doomed to die. What is conceived in Mary? What is conceived in Mary is life. The life that will save all of humanity, that will give new birth to all humankind, who will father a new human race by His unending grace. Mary hears this word. Okay. Imagine how overwhelming this would be to this young woman. How overwhelming. Not just that there's an angel standing in front of you, but you are being told you will be the mother of God in the flesh, the mother of God incarnate. And Mary's response to all of this, as she hears the word and she believes the word, "Let it be done to me as you have said." I am the Lord's servant. "Let it be done to me as you have said." The child conceived in Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit is the incarnate presence of God. He is holy. He is the Son of God. And let's then us, each of us, hear this word of God. And let us not doubt the word of God. And let us each be able to say, "It is so. May it be done to me as you have said." Let each of us follow in the footsteps of Mary and believe the word and its power. Now, how did Mary become pregnant? Well, it's absolutely a great miracle when any woman becomes pregnant. And yet God reserved for himself the privilege of being born of a virgin. How does Mary come to do this? She has no husband. Her womb is closed. And yet she conceives in her womb a real child of flesh and blood. Where does this child come from? The angel Gabriel brings the word to her. Behold, you will conceive and you will bear a son. With these words, Christ comes not only into Mary's heart, but also into her womb. She hears the word. She grasps hold of the word. She believes, that is, trusts in the word. What a great faith that Mary has. And this is a faith that we of the church ought to seek to emulate. We do well also to grasp the word of God, don't we? To hang on to the word of God delivered to us. When does the word come to us? The word comes to us in proclamation. The word comes to us in the sacraments. We so prize our baptisms. They are so precious to us because there the word of God came to us. Oh, which word of God is that? We ask the Lord. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, commanded his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and commanding them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There is a word of God, a promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in and with this promise is the promise that in baptism you are made a child of your Heavenly Father, that you are adopted into God's family, that you are brought into God's grace. If we have been baptized with Him in a baptism like His, we shall also be, or we have been united with Him in a death like His through baptism, we shall also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. How wonderful is this? And we trust that word of God that comes to us combined with the water. Combined with the water. How are disciples of Jesus made? By baptizing. And we cling to this word of Jesus Himself. For it is His word and His power and His authority. This is the word of God that we listen to, that we grab hold of, that we trust. We teach and we point and we point and we point to the word. We point to the word of absolution. The Lord Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, and what did He say? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. What precious words those are to you and I. That word that comes, the declaration of God, that God gives to His disciples. The authority to forgive sins. If you forgive them, they are forgiven. This morning we have had confession and absolution. You stood and confessed your sins before the world and before your God. And you heard the declaration of grace, the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, do not doubt the declaration of grace. Do not doubt the forgiveness of your sins, that they are removed as far as the east is from the west, that your Heavenly Father remembers them no more. Oh, they may come back to your mind. You may remember them. They may come up to you again. But you can say away. Away, for those sins have been forgiven. The word has been spoken to me, and I trust the word. Because it is not my word, nor is it the word of a man. It is the word of the only true and living God. That is the word of the absolution. And what a great and mighty gift it is. A mighty gift given to the church. And upon the absolution, we may feel no more forgiven than Mary felt pregnant when the word was spoken to her. But that does not change the fact that she was pregnant when the word was spoken to her. And you are forgiven when the word is spoken to you. And the word has been spoken and the declaration of God is true. And you stand forgiven. We cannot deny that Mary becomes pregnant through the word, even though we cannot explain how this comes about. Does not the same hold true for the sacrament of the altar? We approach the sacrament of the altar in the confidence and trust and faith that in, with, and under the bread and wine are the word of God, that the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are in, with, and under the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar. And why? Because the very word of creation, the word made flesh says to us, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What powerful, wonderful words that the agent of creation, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the very Son of God in the flesh, takes these elements and says to them, they're me for you. How does this happen? I cannot explain. You cannot explain. We cannot explain. We simply trust the Word of God as Mary trusted the Word of God. If God says this bread and this wine is His body and His blood, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me as you have said. I receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, the strengthening of my faith, and life everlasting. And if the Word of God is not there, it is simple bread, it is simple wine, but as soon as the Word of God is added, they bring with them these words, the reality which they speak. They are the true body and the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we in our turn trust the very words appointed by our Lord, given and shed for you, we have exactly what these words say, the forgiveness of our sins. Isn't it wonderful how God drapes over you and over you and over you in the divine service the forgiveness of sins again and again and again? He defeats your weakness with His strength. He defeats your concern with His might. He overshadows you with His Word and reminds you again and again and again, your sins are forgiven you. And where there is no sin, there is no death, and you have eternal life, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What did Gabriel say to Mary? Nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing. He who creates out of nothing, nothing. For that one will be impossible. Therefore, when He declares you forgiven and righteous in His sight, that is exactly what you are. You are forgiven and you are righteous and holy in His sight. So in this faith, we approach the Word of God. We approach the things of God and we hold them as very sacred and holy. Water and the Word bring you into the kingdom of God. Absolution frees you from the bonds of sin's deadly grasp. Bread and wine are the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And your Bible is the very Word of the true and living God placed into your hands for you. So let's take each and every one of us and approach these things, the Word and the sacraments, with the very faith that Mary heard and spoke back to the angel Gabriel. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me as you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.